With me on the line to discuss this further is Mitchell Barak, who is a pollster and former advisor to various Israeli presidents and prime ministers and political analyst. Mitchell, thanks so much for joining us. Trump's call for Netanyahu to end the war, do you see it as political pressure or sincere strategy?
Oh, we don't know what it is, but we know when President Trump says something, we have to listen. We do not have any independent foreign policy anymore. Whatever he asks, we do. He says, turn the planes around. We turn the planes around. That's it. It's over. So, you know, we just hope he wants to do what we want to do. Otherwise, we have a little bit of a problem.
Israel has reportedly accepted a U.S. ceasefire proposal. Any idea how that's playing or likely to play with Netanyahu's base?
Well, he's always concerned about his base. The issue at this point is that, you know, he's not going to lose his government. That was like a main concern of his, that he might lose his government. And that's not going to happen because he had such success in Iran that it actually gives him some leeway to do something in Gaza. But I think after Iran, after the 10,000 people that are homeless here in Israel, after the 29 killed and the thousands injured, and they got some pretty, you know, interesting targets here, meaning they know how to fire missiles. I think Israelis kind of want the war to wind down for the most part. And so that's where it's going. What's interesting is that, you know, they're saying Israel agreed to it. We haven't yet heard whether the Islamic resistance movement, Hamas, agrees to it. I mean, they're really controlling the cards here. It's a fascinating circumstance at this point that a terror organization is so powerful. It's the most powerful organization, the most powerful government in the world is the Hamas of Gaza. They got everyone spinning around their finger. There's nothing anyone can do to convince them.
Does that suggest that Israel has not been successful in Gaza?
Well, they're still here. They still have the hostages. We continue bombarding them and, you know, destroying everything there and killing many terrorists, and they don't give up. They're very stubborn people. They don't give up. They're very committed to their Islamic resistance movement, which is destroying Israel, and, you know, so they keep going.
Mitchell, what are you expecting for Monday's meeting? Are you expecting real policy movement or potentially just political theater?
Well, there's always a lot of theater with President Trump. What I'm expecting is what President Trump asked Netanyahu to do, he will do. And that's it. No matter how he wants to, you know, code it or present it or pretend about it, if he wants this war in Gaza to be over, and it does look like he wants it to be over already because he's running out of patience here, it's going to be over. And we're going to have to figure out a way to implement that request. So that's where I think things are moving at this point.
The ceasefire plan ties hostage release to a 60-day pause in fighting. In your experience, what would it take for a ceasefire deal like this to actually hold?
Well, the 60 days, I think a lot of people are, you know, kind of wondering, why can't you just get all the hostages out to begin with? Mm-hmm. 60 days is not a good time frame. It does fit into Netanyahu's kind of thing, which is, you know, 60 days ceasefire, maybe that continues indefinitely, and he can say he hasn't stopped the war. I think Netanyahu politically and emotionally is afraid to say the war in Gaza has ended, which is what President Trump wants to say. So I think this is like a step in the right direction. Step one is 60-day ceasefire, and then after 60 days, it's easier to say, okay, we're ending it now, rather than say now the war is ended, and Hamas will immediately declare victory at this point. So I think he wants to avoid that because they declared victory after the previous ceasefires, and that's how they see things.
Calls for ceasefire have traditionally come mostly from the Democrats or progressive circles. So right now, when we hear those kind of calls coming from the Republicans, it contrasts with the usual Republican approach, which typically backs Israel's military strategy without open criticism or public timelines. Do you think this signals a shift in Republican thinking on Israel? Or is this still just classic Trump?
Well, it definitely does. It definitely does if you have senior Republicans like Steve Bannon, Tucker Carlson, arguing against any involvement in Iran and any involvement with Israel. on this issue. I mean, it's not just foreign aid that's going to eventually get cut. They don't want to fight our wars necessarily, nor in the Ukraine nor anywhere else. And I think we have to realize that the landscape is changing. And, for all this Netanyahu administration trashing the Democrats and trashing President Joe Biden, who I think history will show saved the state of Israel after October 7th, both in terms of backing us up, sending aircraft carriers here, and sending a massive amount of weapons and munitions, which we didn't have, and increasing the aid to $18 billion. I mean, we couldn't afford to fight this war on our own. We just couldn't. So, it's nice, but for Netanyahu, it was good to, use him as a scapegoat sometimes about why we couldn't win and that he's holding us back. And I think now that the Republicans are, saying some of the same things, all those folks like to keep their mouths shut.
What do you think genuine support from the U.S. would look like right now, from Congress, the administration, and everyday Americans?
Well, I think it's pretty much ingrained in Congress because of the way the system is and the common values and what we represent here. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of Americans asking questions of what are we doing in all these places and why Israel? And I think Israel has not had the best attitude of gratitude, when it comes to the United States, certainly with the previous administration, now more so due to Iran and so forth. But at the end of the day, we're going to agree to a Gaza ceasefire, which is not something that we may want to do.